SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Now the OTR app makes happy washing your car even easier. Select and pay with the OTR app. Simply scan, wash and go. It's happy wash, happy car at OTR.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS on the Money Markets podcast for this Thursday, the 8th of January, 2025, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.3% to 8,720 points. Of the 11 sectors on the index, 10 finished higher. So the one that didn't, materials, off by around about 1.3%. The best performing sectors included healthcare and information technology. The worst performing stock today was Ansell, down by around about 6.3%. I saw a change of leadership there, a new CEO, its old CEO resigning. And the best performing stocks included Mesoblast, up by more than 8%, and the buy now, pay later company Zip, adding 6.7%. While the markets here only rose a little bit, there were records broken in some markets. So to tell us about that and the rest of the day's market news, I spoke with Matt Wacher, the Chief Investment Officer at Morningstar. Matt, to start off, how would you describe investor sentiment at the moment as we start the new year?
Well, coming into the end of 2025, the markets were a bit quiet, a bit slow, even eased off a little bit. But I'd say that overall investor sentiment is still reasonably bullish. And particularly that's probably being led by retail investors. They still seem to have the bit between the teeth there. But I'd have to say that, and I'm generalising here, but institutional investors, they're really probably a bit more circumspect, particularly around the AI theme. But we have seen just recently, sort of mid to late December, that cash levels with institutional investors are really quite low, historically low. And that can mean that markets might be a little bit susceptible to any kind of bad news or shock if there was one. If sentiment did turn around, that things could unwind quickly, just given the amount of cash that's been deployed, particularly throughout 2025.
Yeah, that sentiment's interesting because around the world, we're seeing markets at record levels. The Dow and S&P 500 in the States at near record highs. The FTSE in the UK at a near record. Last night, the DAX in Germany, a record high above 25,000 points for the first time. Venezuela's main index, 100% higher since Maduro's capture. Why are we seeing these records despite global uncertainties and all these geopolitical issues?
Yeah, maybe I'll start with Venezuela. I think it's a bit of a special case. It was probably uninvestable for most investors out there, certainly most institutional investors. And so, I guess the market saw the removal of Maduro as a positive and a little bit of good in inverted commas news that has really sent that market soaring, as you say. Throughout 2025 and in the first few days of 2026, what's really driven markets is not necessarily the big tech names, and certainly they've done well, but the Magnificent Seven, those stocks and that kind of that naming, really developed in 2023 because those big seven stocks in the US really did very well. And what we saw actually last year, and certainly just it's very early days, but in the first few days this year, is that places like Europe, emerging markets, so areas like China and Korea, and certainly parts of the US market that perhaps haven't done as well, for example, small caps or healthcare, they've all started to perform very well. And so we've seen continued strength in the tech sector, but it's really been pushed along by other parts of the market. And that's really seen us get to new highs across a broad range of markets as opposed to just the US that we saw kind of 2023, 2024.
Speaking of new highs, what about precious metals? Because we know that gold, even silver, have performed spectacularly over the past year. And what's your take now?
Yeah, they have done very, very well in 2025. And And, you know, I think, you know, we've seen some ups and downs, you know, particularly in silver over the last kind of month or so. Certainly a massive up and a little bit of heat coming out of the market. I think, you know, that's probably going to continue. You know, markets, these precious metals are very hard to value. And so, you know, sellers at these levels, and I'll be thinking we've done very well, want to get out. They're really banking on a buyer stepping in at these levels, at these very lofty levels. And you know, the price action that you might see there, you might see some air pockets emerge if there aren't those buyers to step in, and potentially some volatility in precious metals in 2026.
The company story of the past few days is that of BlueScope Steel, and I want to put it into context for our audience that may not be following it. So BlueScope Steel has rejected a joint takeover bid by SGH and US-based Steel Dynamics to buy the company for around about $13 billion. Now, a note from Morningstar today says that the proposal is highly attractive for BSL shareholders. It applies, and Morningstar is applying about a 50% probability of the deal going through at the $30 per share price. Obviously, BlueScope overnight saying that the proposal was an attempt to take BlueScope from its shareholders on the cheap, drastically undervaluing its world-class assets and growth momentum. So the question, I guess, is, are you surprised and what do you think happens now?
Look, I mean, I think the way that the announcement was worded made it clear that they'd, you know, reject the offer and that the probably that Seven Group and Steel Dynamics were not all that confident of actually taking it over at that price. But nonetheless, we weren't su necessarily surprised that the offer was rejected. You know, even though $30, as we say, does look quite attractive, as you say, we thought it was probably a 50-50 likelihood of being accepted. We do think that a further offer is likely to come for a few reasons, but one of the main ones is that this recent offer was the first time that a consortium has been formed, and this is the first time that they've had an Australian partner, you know, Kerry Stokes's Seven Group. So we'd guess that they'll be back with an improved offer, and that would no doubt be even more attractive than the $30.
Okay, and finally, in wrapping up, I wanted to get your crystal ball out. What do you think will be the key investment themes for 2026?
Yeah, even though we're at record highs in lots of the markets, as we discussed earlier, I think that there's still parts of the market that look quite attractive from a valuations perspective. You know, looking at some parts of emerging markets, particularly Latin America, maybe not Venezuela anymore after the 100% rally, but there's other areas, you know, like Brazil and areas like that. Even in the US markets, healthcare, some of the consumer cyclical names over there, or even some small cap stocks, are still looking reasonably attractive despite the run they've had. We think that this kind of what I'm going to call the rotation trade away from tech probably continues. And that doesn't necessarily mean that tech has to fall, but certainly we think that other parts of global markets are well placed to do well in 2026.
That is Matt Wacher there from Morningstar, Chief Investment Officer. And he wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe and talk tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.